Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Governor Kristi Noem holds a press briefing today from Pier at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, 12:30 Mountain. Stay tuned to SDPB Radio. We'll carry that press conference live. You can also tune in on SDPB TV3 or online at sd.net. Now, the governor has designated today a statewide day of prayer. It's Public Health Week, and in yesterday's press conference, she urged all South Dakotans to thank and honor the healthcare workers in the state who are treating COVID-19 patients and who are building capacity to help treat hundreds or perhaps thousands more who might be in need of hospital care in the days ahead. Today we talk about the state and the municipal response to coronavirus with our Dakota political junkies. John Schaff is a professor of political science at Northern State University in Aberdeen. Mike Carr is an associate professor of political science, criminal justice, and international studies at the University of South Dakota in Vermilion. Professor Schaff, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
And Professor Card, thanks for being here as well.
I'm pleased to be here. Thank you. A wonderful day to each of you.
Everybody sounds healthy. I just like that. Every day when our voices sound clear and healthy, it's a good day, right?
It could be much worse, okay. That's for sure.
And maybe it will be in the days ahead, as we all have our dark humor moments here. Yeah. The positive cases today, those numbers, we should give listeners an update, 393 total positive cases. That includes 146 now who are fully recovered. 6,355 people in South Dakota have received negative COVID-19 tests. And of course, those numbers, the big numbers, are in Minnehaha County with 228 total positive cases, with really only 41 recovered today. So that's the picture as it sits now. But let's talk a little politics, because I want to go back to Veto Day and talk about the consequences of that, not only from what was passed and what was not passed. And you hear Governor Kristi Noem in some of her media calls, when people ask a question, she'll remind them that bill, you know, for example, was in front of state lawmakers on veto day and they did not pass it. So that's we're working under the parameters of what we have. But also there's this other fallout, which is whether or not certain lawmakers were intoxicated, and some lawmakers accused others. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit with some audio here in just a moment. But John Schaff, why don't you kick this off with what the controversy is, because these people worked incredibly late in the night and near the 11th hour, or 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30 in the morning. Some accusations were thrown back and forth for people who have missed this. Lay it out for us, please.
Well, I think it was the 17th or 18th hour which the charges were made. There were just about, this is on the Senate side, they were just about to leave session. Senator Jensen made a claim that two of his colleagues, that is Senators Langer and Greenfield, who are in the leadership, the Republican leadership of the Senate, I think his claim at the time was only that Senator Langer was under the influence of alcohol. Later, I think it was expanded to Senator Greenfield. This sort of, I think, was literally at the last minute, and the lieutenant governor, Larry Roden, who is the presiding officer of the Senate, after a little bit of discussion and a pause, ended up saying, and if you look at the Senate rules, which I happen to have in front of me, it has to be any motion to discipline a member has to be done in writing. And since they couldn't do it in writing, and as Lieutenant Governor Roden pointed out, there are no more legislative days to deal with this. They sort of punted in the short run, but eventually this has come back around. It looks like there might be here in the interim. Looks like a committee is going to be formed, and they're going to be looking at whether these charges are true, and then what will we do about that, assuming that they are true.
Okay, we pulled a little audio from the, it's right around 3 o'clock in the morning of that veto day, and we want to play this. There's lots of different audio that you could pull. We picked this because it illustrates both. You can hear the voices of Senator Greenfield. You can hear Senator Langer. You'll hear Lieutenant Governor Roden and the Secretary of the Senate. And Senator Blair as well. So these are the voices you're going to hear here. There's going to be some silence. And the reason, because some people are voting, remotely, there's a lot of remote stuff happening here. And we picked this 2 minutes because not only can you hear kind of what people were saying about, are people slurring their speeches, but you can also hear the exhaustion in the room, and you can kind of hear what senators are dealing with as they navigate this veto day in this brand new way. And let's take a listen.
Senator Greenfield.
Personal privilege.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody who has stuck with us tonight. Thank our LRC staff and thank you to all the senators who have hung on throughout the day and the evening. I think it was about 6 hours ago when we went into recess. I just recognize that the hour is extraordinarily late. But I think that ultimately we have done some good work here today. And, the times are very, very tenuous and uncertain. But I do appreciate the work that's been done here as a legislative body. And hope that you all have a good interim. And we will presumably see you again, either in a special session or again sometime between now and the elections. God bless you.
Madam Secretary, we announce the vote.
First of all, Senator Blair.
Aye!
Senator Duhamel. Senator Russell. Senator Schoenbeck. Mr. President, there are 26 yeas, 5 nays, and 4 excused.
Secretary will display the vote.
Before this president lays down his gavel, I just want to say I do not approve of Senator Blair leaving the Senate, especially with his last vote.
So the motion, having received a two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, the president declares the motion carried and the report is adopted.
Just a little audio there from the South Dakota State Senate during veto day, about 3 o'clock or so in the morning. And we're talking here with the Dakota Political Junkies about accusations that Senator Langer and now Senator Greenfield were intoxicated or had been drinking, and that needs to be dealt with on a disciplinary level. Mike Card, obviously people are going to be asked questions and there will be an investigation, but talk a little bit about what you just heard there. I mean, you can hear the yawn, you can hear the laughter, you can hear the challenges of taking votes remotely. You can hear how tired people are. How do you sort of process that little bit of audio and what we now know about, how this all played out in Pierre that day?
Well, it's sometime between 2:20 and 3:30 in the morning, as near as I can tell from looking at the South Dakota Public Broadcasting video of this time period. And I would not be surprised, just on the evidence of the audio, that it was someone who was very tired. Whether there's appropriate behavior or not is sort of interesting, again, to judge it at that time of day. I think there's other evidence that could come into play other than the audio, though. But if we just listen to the audio, I think it's very difficult to tell whether it would be alcohol-induced slurs and yawns and the like, or whether there was simply tiredness from being on, so to speak, for 13, 14 hours at that time of day.
And Mike, I can hear as I interview people for the past 3 weeks when we interview mayors and, you know, community leaders and doctors, you can hear the exhaustion in their voices. You can hear what people are really going through at this point. Speak a little bit, John Schaff, if you will, about what everybody is going through. And meanwhile, trying to figure out how to tackle this really important business for the state, where there are no easy answers and no precedent to look back on.
I think it's one of the major features of this crisis is that, you know, a lot of public figures, you know, in our state, nationally, are, you know, you can criticize, you can praise. Some people have responded better, some people maybe a little bit worse. But I would ask, you know, one of the problems that we have, just in, as far as public policy goes, is precisely that when you enter crisis, is the normal routine of how we solve problems doesn't always work, and oftentimes shortcomings of bureaucracy. You know, bureaucracies operate by standard operating procedures, which almost by definition are intended for what is the typical thing. Then when something very atypical comes along, especially something as crisis-ridden as the COVID crisis, it's hard for bureaucracies to respond nimbly, and there are often going to be mistakes made in the short run because we have to adjust to a new situation. I think that's a lot of what we're seeing with our leaders. You know, why do we have to have this unique situation where we have a veto day where most of our legislators are remotely voting? They're not even at our state capitol. That's never happened before. And so you have to sort of make things up on the fly. And I think one of the things that makes people tired, frustrated, anxious is that we are, our leaders are forced to make very extremely difficult decisions based on what I think is necessarily sketchy data, where there's just so much that we don't know, and try to operate a, you know, governmental institutions in an era of uncertainty is extremely stressful and extremely tiresome. And so I was not in peer for veto day, so I don't know what the heck was going on there. But from the video and audio evidence that I've seen, or even if Senator Langer was walking around with her shoes off, that's, you know, when you've been at it for 15, 16 hours, oftentimes people will take their shoes off. That doesn't strike me. Now, there might be, as Michael Card says, there might be other evidence. You know, I wasn't there, so who knows what was going on. But the evidence I see is people who are extremely tired and stressed out, and I would not want to make this. So I don't know, maybe Senator Jensen knows or knew something that I don't know. And so we'll see what happens. That's why we investigate these things. But I took it as being some very tired people or stressed out. And I guess there's going to be an investigation. Maybe other evidence will come forward.
And we can easily pull audio where those same voices are very to the point and lucid and sharp and don't fumble over a single word. And Mike Card, on behalf of anyone who's ever had to take their shoes off and had blisters and swollen feet from my time in the Marine Corps to when I ever mistakenly wore heels to the wrong event. I'm not really sure the shoe and the bare feet is relevant to Chris Langer's frame of mind, but that's my personal opinion. There's your disclaimer there about even commenting whether or not she was wearing shoes. I start limping by the end of the day. I get stiff. I get tired. 3 o'clock in the morning, you don't want to see me walk. Much less talk.
I've only worn heels a couple times in my life, and I can tell you that I can't imagine 13 hours.
And I'm not saying Chris Langer was wearing heels, because I do not know what kind of footwear is her closet. I'm just saying there's been more than one, so I have thrown them out the window and said, I will never wear that pair of shoes again, and I wrap my feet in Band-Aids and whatnot. We only have about a minute left, so go ahead, Mike.
No, I was going to continue on with this, that the executive board is chaired by Senator Greenfield, and that led to some interesting dynamics on that meeting, where they were trying to pick a new director, trying to deal with this issue, as well as some other issues about planning for a special session. So the conflict continues, but there will be an investigation, and we trust that more information will come out from sources that the committee judges to be credible, and they'll make a decision.
Yeah. John Schaaf, in our remaining minute, you wrote a book about President Lincoln, and certainly this is a leader who led during a time of crisis. What advice do you have to give mayors and the governor and, you know, people who are in public service now for how to rise to some of these really difficult occasions under really difficult circumstances?
I think the only advice I would give is that there has to be times when you step away and do something else. You know, I remember George W. Bush saying one time that you better have a sense of humor if you're president, because otherwise the nights get really short, the days get really long. And I think that's part of what your attitude has to be. I think that's one of the things. You know, Abraham Lincoln famously had a great sense of humor, and it sure helps if you can step away and see, you know, as we've done even a little bit in this conversation, at least a little bit of the humor of it. Because if you dwell on the tragedy of it too much, you're just going to be overwhelmed. And yeah, you know, surround yourself with good people, and try every once in a while to take a break and watch something stupid on Netflix, like most of us are doing every once in a while. So,
well, thank you to the good people I've surrounded myself with today. We really appreciate John Schaaf. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Lori. Thank you, Michael. Good to talk to you both.
Mike Card, thank you.
Well, good to talk to you and John, Lori. Best wishes for you. Stay calm. And remember that in 2001, the most watched TV show after 9/11 was SpongeBob SquarePants.
That is good to know. Information I did not have before we started this show. Thanks, Professor Card.